Coming up next, we'll hear another in a series of luncheon speakers from the Economic Club of Indiana in downtown Indianapolis. Purdue University President Dr. France A. Cordova spoke at the Economic Club March 5th. Cordova told members that a college education is more than just a degree.
Higher education has remarkable opportunities to bring about wide public benefit. It can give individuals increased skills for personal advancement. It can provide new knowledge that can benefit nearly all sectors of public life, including economic vitality, culture, public policy, health, and security. Higher education is a time and a place in which new ideas can be vetted openly and new dreams can be launched and new leaders inspired.
Purdue University President Dr. France Cordova talks to the Economic Club of Indiana. But first, this news.
Broadcast of the Economic Club of Indiana Speaker Series is made possible in part by ProLiance Energy. ProLiance, adding power to energy. Information is at ProLiance.com.
Welcome to the Economic Club of Indiana. This month's speaker is Purdue University President Dr. France Cordova. Cordova told the club Purdue is becoming a global university. She says technology is allowing people all over the world to gain access to educational resources.
Good afternoon. The Economic Club of Indianapolis is an important forum in which to discuss today's leading issues. It's an honor for me to be here talking about higher education and what Purdue University can do, not only for its students, but also for Indianapolis, our state of Indiana, our nation, and our world. I'm pleased to be joined here today by a group of Purdue faculty and staff and deans, along with some of our Indianapolis alumni and major supporters. Go Boilermakers. Also with us is the chairman of our Purdue Board of Trustees, Tim McGinley of Indianapolis. Tim, where are you? Please acknowledge Tim. It's a tremendous pleasure for me to work with Tim and all of our fine trustees. Purdue has tremendous support from our Governor, Mitch Daniels, Lieutenant Governor, Becky Skillman, and our General Assembly. I want to thank all of them for promoting education in Indiana. And I'd like to thank all of you in the audience who have supported Purdue in so many ways. Sponsorships, gifts, advice, partnerships, and by sending us your children and grandchildren whom we treasure as our students. Indiana University President Michael McRobbie spoke here in December, eloquently describing his goals and plans for IU. As new presidents of our state's two leading research university systems, Michael and I are working closely to expand our partnerships in meaningful ways. Going forward, we want to make a difference for Indiana, and we believe that working together will bring great benefits to our state. Higher education has remarkable opportunities to bring about wide public benefit. It can give individuals increased skills for personal advancement. It can provide new knowledge that can benefit nearly all sectors of public life, including economic vitality, culture, public policy, health, and security. Higher education is a time and a place in which new ideas can be vetted openly and new dreams can be launched and new leaders inspired. Whatever we do to improve the education of young people today will be paid back many times over in the years ahead. And there's no better evidence of this than the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of World War II, called the GI Bill of Rights. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed it into law on June 22, 1944, weeks after the Allied D-Day invasion. Total victory was far from assured. The pressures on our national budget were enormous. But in that uncertain moment, our government invested in the future of our young people and the future of America by making it possible for returning veterans to earn a college education. The impact of that investment on the last 50 years of the 20th century was a period of technological advancement and economic progress unlike any other in our history. Last weekend, I met Harry Williams, Purdue class of 1959, College of Science. Harry entered Purdue with a fistful of GI Bill dollars and graduated cum laude 4 years later, all the time working an 8-hour swing shift as a clerk at the Lafayette Railroad Station. He said that he owed everything to Purdue, but really, it was a partnership of the federal government with universities that made it possible for him to receive a college degree. Purdue was created out of another of the most far-reaching pieces of legislation in this country's history, the Morrill Land Grant Act of 1862. The Morrill Land Grant Act set the United States on a course to be the world leader in higher education. Before the Morrill Act, higher education in this country, as it was throughout the world, was mostly the privilege of the wealthy, the elite. Universities were too often towers of philosophical inquiry, quite separate from the problems and needs of society. The Morrill Act was an agenda for America that changed the education model. It provided states with the means to create universities to teach agriculture and the mechanic arts. It opened the opportunity of higher education to people throughout the nation. And as these universities brought new knowledge out of the laboratories and into farming communities across the countryside, American agriculture developed into the most productive food system in the world. In the 20th century, the land-grant university, like other universities, was imprinted with a research mission, a legacy of engineer and policymaker Vannevar Bush, who in 1945 wrote for the President of the United States a report called Science, the Endless Frontier. It was a document that galvanized the federal government to invest in university-based scientific research. Research universities have since produced top medical schools, assisted manufacturing through the development of innovative tools and new materials, fueled the rocket age with new talent, and discovered the molecular structure of the building blocks of life. Now, in the 21st century, the nation's research universities continue life-changing advancements, including work in genomics, proteomics, nanotechnology, information science, and bionics. With all that has been accomplished, today we live in a much different world from 1862 when the Land Grant Act was passed. In that year, the population of the United States was 31 million. And today it's 10 times larger. In 1862, 60% of all jobs in the U.S. were directly connected to agriculture. Today that number is less than 2%. In 1860, 80% of the U.S. population was rural. Today, 80% lives in urban areas. In 1862, the world was a large place. Parts of it were still unexplored, and just reaching from the United States to Europe could take weeks. Today, it takes hours. New York Times columnist and author Thomas Friedman writes of the flat world that we live in today, leveled by the speed of transportation and communications technology. A world where the United States is facing tremendous competition for its position as a leader in innovation. This new century and the rapid change we see all around us require a new model for land-grant research universities. To meet the challenge of our times and the needs and opportunities of our state, Purdue must become a global university for Indiana. Purdue must continue with everything it's been doing for Indiana. It should provide more innovative learning opportunities for our students and more engagement with public preschool through grade 12 education, including attracting more young people to careers in science, engineering, technology, and math. More company assists, such as the work of our technical assistance program, which since 1986 has trained over 4,600 Indiana employees, boosted sales of Indiana companies by $350 million, and saved or added more than 4,600 Indiana jobs. More company partnerships, such as those we have formed with Cummins, Caterpillar, Eli Lilly, and Rolls-Royce. More technology degree programs, such as Purdue Statewide Technology, which is being delivered in communities throughout the state. More and faster technology transfer from our laboratories to the marketplace, such as we are now preparing to effect through our Discovery Park Alfred Mann Institute for Biomedical Engineering, which is privately endowed with $100 million. It's important for the future of our state that Purdue continue this agenda for Indiana and also do much more. It must also serve as a hub for global innovation and global collaboration. We have the opportunity, as never before, to link our business enterprises to a worldwide network of strategic partners for Indiana and to ensure that our students have global credentials. Today, businessmen and researchers in India, Hong Kong, Korea, Mumbai, and more can visit Purdue on the Internet as easily as they can pour themselves a cup of chai. Purdue's enhanced role as a global hub directly helps the enterprises in this state by opening new markets, attracting new talent, and helping match global partners to address large-scale changes and challenges and access new opportunities. Let me give you an example of how the world has changed in real time. Several years ago, our news service put out a release about a Purdue Discover technology called SIS being developed and marketed by Cook Biotech in our research park. SIS transforms a portion of pig small intestine into strong, sterile, pliable sheets that work as a scaffold to facilitate the growth of new tissue. That news release went out at 9 a.m. By noon, we received a call from the BBC in London seeking more information. 2 hours later, we received a call from a physician in Albania who had heard the BBC news story and wanted to use SIS immediately to save a little girl with severe burns. It is indeed a small world. Our accomplishments at Purdue have a long reach. SIS technology has been used successfully on more than 500,000 patients in more than 25 countries, including a little girl in Albania. Purdue is already a global university, although we have much farther to go and many more benchmarks to meet. Purdue's Krannert School of Management International Executive MBA program placed 11th worldwide in rankings by the Financial Times last October. Purdue management has many strong international programs and partnerships that are good for our students and good for Indiana. Purdue enrolls nearly 5,000 international graduate and undergraduate students. This enrollment ranks third in the nation among all universities, public and private. These are some of the most talented young people in the world. While on our campus, they interact with our Indiana and U.S. students, helping create global awareness and understanding. This global experience will be vital to the business community of our state in the years ahead. Our international students who graduate and return to their home countries have positive images of Indiana in the United States and form partnerships with Indiana businesses and industries throughout their careers. Purdue alumni in China, Taiwan, Korea, India and Europe have ties to Indiana that are being used to promote our state as a leader in international trade. Some of our international students become leading government officials in their homelands. And I know at least a couple who are presidents of U.S. universities. Many other Purdue international students remain here, providing the educated people we need to power a transformation in information technology, the life and health sciences, and advanced manufacturing in Indiana and our nation. They teach, they work, they start businesses here. We're working to increase the number of U.S. students at Purdue who take part in all types of international experiences, especially formal learning experiences abroad directly related to their profession. After spring break next week, our College of Engineering will have had 193 students in foreign universities this year. The percent of Purdue engineering students in study abroad is twice the national average for a school of engineering and growing at four times the national rate. Here's one example of how global programs at Purdue can affect lives of our students and help Indiana companies, such as Cummins, compete in the worldwide marketplace. Stephanie Faber-Severance has had a Purdue degree in mechanical engineering. As an undergraduate, she learned Mandarin Chinese and spent a semester and a summer in China as part of a Purdue program studying at Shanghai Jiaotong while interning for Cummins in China. She worked with Shanghai students for two semesters of face-to-face global design teamwork. Today, she works full-time as a product development engineer for Cummins. In only her second year on the job, she leads two project teams of engineers from the United States and China designing new fuel systems that will be used first in the Chinese markets and then in expanded global markets. She has already filed five patent applications. Cummins is only one example of an Indiana company with a wide global footprint. Our state is a major player in the global marketplace. Indiana, in fact, is the 12th largest exporting state in our nation, according to February 2008 data reported by the Office of Trade and Industry Information of the International Trade Administration in the U.S. Department of Commerce. The report states that Indiana exported $26 billion worth of goods during 2007. And here's some more facts from that report. Export-supported jobs linked to manufacturing amount for 7.1% of Indiana's total private sector employment. More than 18% of all Indiana manufacturing jobs depend on exports. A total of 5,300 companies exported goods from Indiana in 2005. Of those, 84% were small and medium-sized enterprises with fewer than 500 employees. In 2005, foreign-controlled companies employed 140,000 workers in Indiana. Purdue is involved in all of this. Here are the top 10 exports in Indiana and examples of what Purdue is doing to assist our industries. The first, the leading one, is vehicles and parts. Purdue's Center for Advanced Manufacturing is working with automaker suppliers to improve processes and products and keep them competitive. Purdue has ties to Subaru of Indiana. Second, industrial machining. Purdue has major research efforts, such as our Center for Laser-Based Manufacturing and the School of Mechanical Engineering, working with companies such as Caterpillar and Cummins to improve their products. Research examples include product optimization, heat control and materials, and the design, friction, wear, and lubrication of interacting surfaces. Third is electrical and machining and electronics. Delphi Corporation is a global leader in electronic products for the automotive industry, and Purdue is working with the company on new microcooling techniques. Fourth is pharmaceutical products. Purdue is a leader in pharmaceutical processing and formulation, and we have partnerships with these industries in our state. Fifth is organic chemicals. Purdue has a long relationship with the former Great Lakes Chemical Company, now Chemtura. Most recently, one of our chemistry faculty made significant advances for its organic fluorine product. Sixth is optical and medical instruments. Purdue's Weldon School of Biomedical Engineering and our chemistry department have made many discoveries that have led to new medical devices and new companies for Indiana. Seventh is plastics. Purdue has excellent capabilities in polymer, rheology, and material. Purdue research has led to better adhesives and optical wear. Eighth, iron and steel. Purdue recently worked on improvements for furnace operations and product movement in this industry. Ninth is miscellaneous chemicals. Purdue's chemical engineering department is a leader in co-op internships in our state, helping companies to train the next generation of workers. And tenth, aluminum. Purdue has excellent ties with the major Alcoa operation in Lafayette, and our School of Materials Engineering is gaining international recognition in new materials. We're doing all of this, and we're also having a great basketball season, too, minus a couple of blips. But we'll be back strong this weekend and in the Big Ten and NCAA tournaments. The Boilermakers are rolling in learning, discovery, engagement, and hoops. But I digress. Back to our roots. Our state ranks 10th in the nation with more than $2 billion in agricultural exports. As a worldwide leader, Purdue Agriculture is deeply involved with every sector of the field. Our extension program works with every county, every township, and every farm in Indiana. Our College of Agriculture has a strong global focus. 25% of our students in agriculture study abroad. Purdue professor Dr. Philip Nelson recently received the 2007 World Food Prize for his work in aseptic processing, developing the bag-in-a-box technology to process large quantities of seasonal crops such as tomatoes and oranges for long-term storage and bulk transportation. This is considered the Nobel Prize of Agriculture. Purdue and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are partners in Africa. The foundation has awarded $11.4 million to Purdue to help people in 10 African nations safely store cowpeas, an important food and cash crop, protecting them from weevils. Purdue Agriculture is helping rebuild the educational capacity in Afghanistan. A Purdue researcher in biomedical engineering and veterinary medicine has introduced a new low-cost technology that will make it possible to perform affordable, widespread medical testing for millions of AIDS victims in Africa. Hunger and lack of education and disease are all global issues, and if we don't address them today, we'll suffer the consequences tomorrow. Purdue owns or manages several commercial research parks that run the length of Indiana, promising new jobs and economic benefits of our state. The Purdue Technology Center in our West Lafayette Research Park has nearly 150 companies employing nearly 3,000 people with average wages of $58,000 per year. This is really a global research park. In our Purdue Research Foundation buildings there, there are 62 foreign-born employees. Cook Biotech in our research park sells worldwide. 45% of Griffin Analytical sales come from foreign companies. BASI has 25 foreign-born employees. Delegations from South America, Singapore, Australia, Korea, China, Ireland, the United Kingdom, Japan, and Thailand have all recently visited our research park to see what goes on there and possibly bring that back home as models for their own countries. Last month, Governor Mitch Daniels was in West Lafayette to announce that global technology giant EDS plans to locate its National Software Solutions Center at Purdue Research Park, creating at least 200 software engineer and business analyst positions by the year 2010. Another example of Purdue's global research is Purdue's technology commercialization program. Over the past 10 years, Purdue Research Foundation patent applications in foreign jurisdictions have led to 408 patents issued and 412 pending patent applications. The Purdue Research Foundation has license agreements with 105 non-U.S.-based companies. Over the last 10 years, these licenses have generated nearly $10 million for Purdue. The Purdue Technology Center of Northwest Indiana in Merrillville opened in December 2004, and it also has a global focus as it strengthens the economy of northern Indiana. It is already home to 19 companies with an average employee wage of $52,000. These are companies like Nesh LLC, which is developing technology that will be used for mammograms and other soft tissue imaging applications. Ivan Nesh moved his company from Chicago to be part of our technology center there. Born in Bulgaria, he received his PhD from the University of Moscow and immigrated to the United States in the 1990s to pursue opportunities. Construction is beginning on the Purdue Technology Center for Indianapolis, located on I-70 near the entrance to the airport's new midfield terminal. This 78-acre development is expected to grow to 75 companies, creating 1,500 jobs. The Purdue Technology Center of Southeast Indiana will open this fall with a learning center, a business incubator, four new Purdue bachelor degree offerings, and more. In a global focus that also benefits Indiana, last December, the Purdue Chow Center for Industrial Pharmacy and Contract Manufacturing at our research park in West Lafayette began filling orders as the sole North American provider of Seromycin, a life-saving antibiotic to cure multi-resistant tuberculosis. The partnership is part of the global humanitarian effort to produce and manufacture a drug needed in smaller quantities that can be produced in a cost-effective way by larger pharmaceutical companies. So this is a new paradigm for large pharmaceutical companies, and we're happy that they place the investment at Purdue. Another important component to the agreement is that it enables our Purdue pharmaceutical students to learn how to produce drugs under the strict guidelines set by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. This is valuable training for our students, helping them to become even better prepared to contribute to this important sector of Indiana's economy immediately after graduation. The man who made this possible with a $5 million gift is alumnus Alan Chow, a native of Taiwan, who used his Purdue education to create a U.S. pharmaceutical company. Discovery Park, Purdue's multidisciplinary research complex, which is in the heart of our campus, was launched in August of 2001. We're grateful to the Lilly Endowment for $51 million in startup funding, without which we would not have been able to launch this remarkable enterprise. Some of Discovery Park's successes since its inception just a few years ago include seeding or assisting 21 startup companies, which create 165 jobs, 140 licenses or options on intellectual property discovered within Discovery Park, generating more than $223 million in external funding, including $54 million in 2006-2007. And we hope that tomorrow brings exciting news of another very big engagement with our federal government for Discovery Park. Engaging more than 100 companies in the 10 centers making up Discovery Park. Engaging more than 3,000 students, including undergraduates, earning a credential in innovation and entrepreneurship. Some of the students in this program go to other countries, like ones who recently traveled to South Korea to learn about doing business with that large economy. So truly, Discovery Park is generating the global innovators of the future. In Discovery Park, our Reagan Street Center for Healthcare Engineering is addressing healthcare delivery issues throughout Indiana and on a national scale. It is funded by the Reagan Street Foundation here in Indianapolis. Also in Discovery Park, the Network for Computational Nanotechnology has received $18 million in funding from the National Science Foundation to advance this emerging field. Now, as we dress our new strategic plans, Discovery Park is perfectly positioned to make Global Purdue one of the preferred U.S. institutions for research and educational collaborations. As a unique interdisciplinary research, learning, and engagement complex, Discovery Park has the opportunity not only to advance our state, but also help Purdue define the 21st century global land-grant research university. We have a number of Discovery Park partnerships in China, including the Center for Entrepreneurship Study Abroad with Tsinghua University. We have a Discovery Park partnership with the Korean Institute of Science and Technology. Our global efforts are campus-wide. Purdue has more than 1,000 students from India studying on our West Lafayette campus, and about 90 faculty and administrators are of Indian origin. Purdue has strong ties to India, and our strategy is to expand our research network there. We're also working to build partnerships in the Middle East, where we need to create better understanding among people and cultures, in addition to linking to that important economy. There's a lot more happening at Global Purdue to benefit Indiana. A vital new global approach for Purdue will emerge through our new six-year strategic plan, which is in the final stages of preparation by our faculty, our staff, and our students. Many community and statewide groups have taken part in this strategic planning process, and we're grateful to them for their inputs. Purdue's strategic plan has important consequences focused on globalization and economic development for our state. Having spent most of my life in California, I personally witnessed areas such as Silicon Valley and the biotechnology corridor grow up. I saw them created in the vicinity of major research universities which partnered with the state. The enterprises thrived economically with global partnerships and investments and transformed the state. Purdue, partnering with our state of Indiana, is positioned to spawn similar globally attractive enterprises. Purdue's footprints are on the moon, left there by our students who graduated to become citizens of a larger world. They returned new knowledge. Now Purdue is continuing this legacy, creating new footprints globally, and this can return huge benefits to our great state of Indiana. Thank you, and all hail from old Purdue.
We have time for a brief question and answer period. If you have a question for Dr. Cordova, please bring it forward, and we will attempt to get them all asked. To begin, you mentioned globalizing author Tom Friedman, and his pointing out, as you did, how many international students there are in the U.S. The question is, should U.S. institutions be concerned with fewer U.S. students pursuing terminal degrees?
I assume that's graduate degrees,
right,
especially. Yeah. I think we should. To remain on the global competitive edge, we do need to have a lot of students that are involved, especially in what we call the STEM careers, science, technology, education, and math. And while we actually the graduate enrollments at most of our universities, especially research universities, are growing. They're growing ever so slightly. They're growing tremendously in other countries, which are building new universities, emulating our success. And I think we should be very, very concerned about this. I'm happy that at Purdue, we do have a lot of students going into this discipline, including a lot of women, which are an untapped resource in these areas. And one of our goals in our strategic planning process is to make Purdue even more of a national magnet for attracting students into STEM careers. So I've made it one of the eight pillars of our strategic plan, attracting students with a particular particular emphasis on women and minority students into these fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. So it's a complex challenge, as you know well, Dr. Mosley, in our institutions of higher learning. But it just couldn't be a more important one to create the culture and the environment on our campuses and the career endpoints, because students, after all, are interested in what lies after the degree, what kind of careers are open to them. So we need all of your help in attracting them, and that's the direction we're going.
We have a question about the related to that, specifically STEM careers at the front end of education. Are there things that universities such as Purdue can be doing with science and math education at the elementary and secondary levels to change things so that we have a more creative economy?
I think that's a huge need nationwide, is to better engage in using the wisdom and energy talents of our faculty and staff to really get involved with K through 12 education. I'm very proud of this new Woodrow Wilson partnership that the state has partnered with the Woodrow Wilson Foundation to fund four of our state universities, including Purdue, in providing very attractive fellowships for students who aspire to become teachers for Indiana. And our particular emphasis at Purdue is the rural community. And I think this program has just now gotten launched. I think this will be a very important attraction and mentorship program to get very high-quality teachers in the schools. And beyond that, we have much more to do, but that is an engagement that we are very involved in and hope to bring to an even more significant level going forward.
Several members of the Economic Club during the reception dared me to ask you about the other area of passion and interest for all university presidents. Do you have a prediction about the Big Ten tournament this weekend?
Of course. I predict that black and gold will do very well indeed.
And a final question about the research environment throughout the state of Indiana. You mentioned that you and Michael McRobbie are working together. Are there other parts of the Indiana higher education spectrum that should be involved in this? Are there ways that Purdue and IU see themselves as, anyway, as partners in the future?
Absolutely. The specific partnership that I was referring to there is that we are engaging in a research partnership having to do with the life and health sciences and working with groups like BioCrossroads in the state that are very, very engaged in that as part of economic development and producing better health opportunities for Indiana. But there are many, many opportunities of engagement, including ensuring that all students in Indiana have ultimately access and success to access to higher education and successful experience while at a higher educational institution. So I noticed Tom Snyder is here today from Ivy Tech and his new provost. We have had discussions with Tom about how we can engage more with the community college system. And I just think in the end, it's about having for students who are in high school and students in grade school and their parents and families aspiring for real opportunities in the future and seeing higher education there. It's about creating a whole diverse spectrum of opportunities, that there needs to be a college opportunity for every student, regardless of where they are at age 18 or maybe age 24 or age 44. And there are many different pathways. My own is a very unusual pathway until I was really able to pursue what I was interested in. And these are stories that we hear a lot. So we are working together across a spectrum of university presidents to work harder on that. I want to thank you all very much for coming to listen to me today. And again, I want to just thank you for your support of education in general, higher education in particular, and Purdue. Thank you very much.
That was Purdue University President Dr. France Cordova. She spoke to the Economic Club of Indiana March 5th. Purdue will inaugurate Cordova as the new president of the university Friday, April 11th. Cordova says Purdue is doing more to provide students with a global perspective on the world. Kathy Blitzer is the coordinator of international education for the Indiana Department of Education. Blitzer says a global education is important for Indiana students and the state's economy.
It is especially important for Indiana students because Indiana's economy is global. Whether we consider the number of foreign-owned international companies that are employing Indiana workers, of which there are more than 800, and it's a number that actually, because of the increase in international investments in 2007, Indiana was ranked first in the country for the number of new manufacturing jobs related to international investment. That's one side of the coin. The other, of course, is the activity on the part of Indiana companies in global markets. And as we know, that's where much of the growth is. And Indiana ranks among the top 20 states in exports. And indeed, a number of the most high-paying jobs are related to companies that are active in markets across the world. We are seeing this across the country. However, Indiana, as we know, is more dependent than other states on manufacturing. Therefore, manufacturers that are located here, whether they are internationally based or whether they are homegrown Indiana companies, have much to depend on their access and their success in markets far-flung around the world. Another aspect that is so visible and important to us in Indiana, in communities small and large across the state, of course, is the growing percentage of the population that is foreign-born. And you know, we've been referred to as having communities that are the new Ellis Islands. They're the Ellis Islands of the 21st century. And certainly we recognize the growth in the Latino population. But at the Department of Education, where we consider the numbers of students who are who come to us with limited English proficiency, better than 80% are Latino students whose first language is Spanish. However, beyond that, in the top 10, there's a powerful scatter pattern from around the world. So we see languages spoken in Africa, in Asia, in India, and those are a very important reflection of the diversity in the immigration patterns that we see of individuals coming to Indiana to contribute to our economy. There is a competitive advantage to Indiana students and their families who encourage students very early in their school life, working to, for example, introduce world languages at the elementary school level, appreciating that whether that language is Spanish, French, German, Chinese, that students learn best when the younger they are, and the cognitive benefits of learning a second language go far beyond that language. There's an impact on your ability in your first language, in English, and test scores reflect the advantages the students have when, as they achieve fluency in English and another language besides English. Another competitive advantage is for those students where, within their school community and their school experience, there are partnerships. School-to-school exchanges, those can begin virtually through conversations and through email. But the more robust they are, the more project-based they are, where you could be learning and thinking about sustainable development in your class in Plainfield High School with a partner school in Alsace, France. And that's a real-time example of partnerships that we have here in Indiana. Those students are going to be at a competitive advantage as they apply to colleges, and certainly as they are more receptive and able to seek out international opportunities at the collegiate level and beyond. Right. It's important to Indiana students whether their future will be in Indiana communities, whether their future will be working with companies that may have a base here and for which they may find themselves on assignments abroad and then back to Indiana. You never have to leave home for the need to be a master of communication skills and awareness of the importance of understanding across cultures, because we are many cultures, and those are, you know, those are individuals that we work with, that we supervise, that we negotiate with, that we sell to, that we buy from on a daily basis than in, as we, in our workforce reality. Now, the world is in our backyard in Indiana, and it's very, very satisfying and encouraging there where, again, school leaders and the extraordinary teachers that we have in Indiana are helping their students discover that world in our backyard, whether it's immigrant communities, expatriate communities, refugee communities, long-standing associations of Slovenian Americans, for example, or Italian Americans, and on to latter day, you know, the Chin community, recent refugees. Each of us has so much to contribute to building a knowledge base, a familiarity, and a sense of comfort in working across cultures and communicating across cultures. As young students, certainly the world is here, and together with leaders in their school community, with their parents, to explore diverse cultures, and whether it's as an individual or you know, very positively on a, at a, on a class basis, as a class of students, for example, students taking a world language that wish to be partnered with a partner school in another world region. It's a program that the Indiana Department of Education supports and works with, you know, very proactively. Students can seek out opportunities for some form of study abroad, whether that's the traditional year abroad or whether that's a shorter term experience during sometime during their high school years. And as important as that experience is, be able to articulate the transformation that has occurred in them and why they now are more able to see the world as not only the complex reality that it is, but it is a world made up of people who are more alike than different. And the sooner they can create those relationships, the greater the advantage to all. I'll give you one statistic that there are some 30,000 international students studying in the United States in any given year. And Indiana ranks in the top 10 as a state welcoming international students at the high school level. Indiana is in the bottom 40 in the number of Indiana students going out for a period of time during their high school experience. So imagine, if you have been that student and you're able to articulate it, then the advantage that you have, not only as you apply to college, but the advantage that you have going forward as you become an employee in what is very likely to be a globally engaged business or organization. And organizations that are addressing global needs, you know, because there are needs that perforce have to have global solutions. Poverty, hunger, AIDS. You know, these are not country by country. Mm-hmm. And students that have engaged early on in their studies with those realities and with the possibilities that partnerships across borders bring, they're going to be part of the solution to the world's most pressing issues. And how wonderful if there will be Indiana students, and I know there are and there will be, that contribute to those solutions. I think it's important to create those bridges to Indiana's international community, whether that's within the business realm, because businesses are the ones that, for whom the world is flattest, if you will, for whom the markets are global and the competition is global, but so are the opportunities. And we recently had an experience of hosting Indiana's first international education summit. And our partner was Eli Lilly and Company. And we held it at their corporate center. And the message from Sidney Terrell is every one of Indiana's 1 million students deserves a passport to the world. And that begins at the youngest age in appreciating the power that comes with knowing another language, with achieving fluency, that comes with a course of study that has the globe as its framework, whether it's math or science or social studies or history or some other obvious subjects, and that comes with those opportunities to engage in the world. ideally in person at some point in time, but certainly all that can be achieved because distance is no barrier thanks to technology advancements in our 21st century.
Kathy Blitzer is the coordinator for international education for the Indiana Department of Education. You've been listening to an Indiana Public Broadcasting Station's presentation of the Economic Club of Indiana. The guest speaker was Purdue University President Dr. Franz Cordova. On April 29th, Professor Stephen F. Hayward talks to the club about climate change policy. Hayward is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He studies environmentalism, economics, and public policy. He also starred in An Inconvenient Truth, or Convenient Fiction, last year. The movie was a rebuttal to Al Gore's global warming film. Be sure to join us next month for the IPBS broadcast of the Economic Club of Indiana.
Proliance Energy, providing natural gas to more than 1,200 commercial, industrial, utility, and municipal customers. Proliance, adding power to energy. Information is at proliance.com.